Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Gregory Dickow and the continuation of his teaching on winning the battle of your mind. Open your heart today as Pastor shares a new word on winning the battle of your mind.
Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll begin there tonight. Who knows where we'll end up, but that's at least where we'll start. And let's listen to what God has to say to us this evening, shall we? Amen. Came to hear from God, didn't you? Amen. You're not going to hear from man tonight. You're hearing from God tonight. Amen. You're hearing through a man, but you're hearing from God. Amen. I want you to expect to hear from God tonight. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Do not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience, they inherit the promises. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Or as I was meditating on this verse earlier, this word came to me, this combination of words came to me, that to inherit the promises simply means to take delivery of the promises. Through faith and patience, we take delivery of the promises. Now, I don't know about you, but I need to take delivery of some things. I've ordered some things. How many have ever ordered something in the mail that you got so excited about, but you couldn't enjoy it until you took delivery of it, right? There's something about taking delivery of that thing. There's something about receiving that thing into this physical, natural world. And it's a whole lot better to take delivery of it than just have placed the order for it. And there are many things that we have placed a spiritual order for. And I'm not trying to say that God is a catalog or God is a store or merchandise mart or anything like that. But God desires for us to ask for things and pray for things and call certain things into being. God has laid up an inheritance for us, but He wants us to take delivery of that inheritance. It's one thing to be in the will. It's one thing to have your name in God's will, to have your name in somebody's will, but it's altogether another thing to take delivery of that inheritance. And it's time for us to start taking delivery to our inheritance. It's time for us to stop just hoping for it, believing for it, praying for it, praising for it. It's time for us to take delivery of it. And it's our hour, it's our time to take delivery of what God has for us, to take delivery of our inheritance. And God is not a God who wants you to wait any longer. God is not interested in you waiting. Patience is not waiting around. The world is waiting, but that doesn't mean that they have patience. You've waited for a lot of things, but that doesn't mean you've had patience. We all wait for things all the time, but I've waited in lines to get to, you know, in a store, in a mall, in a grocery store, whatever it is, in a parking lot, you know, at a toll booth. I mean, I've waited for a long time in lines without ever having patience during that time. How about you? Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? So there's a difference between waiting for something and being patient. And so what God wants us to do is He wants us to be patient, but He doesn't want us to necessarily have to wait forever. There's nothing glorious about waiting around for God to do something in your life. Like you heard earlier, what if that woman with the issue of blood would have just waited around for God to come to her house, waited around for Jesus to touch her, waited around to get a prophecy, waited around for somebody to send her a prayer cloth, waited around for somebody. In other words, she didn't need somebody to send it to her. She went out and got her own prayer cloth by touching the hem of Jesus' garments. She touched the hem of His garment. That was her prayer cloth. Man, I believe in aprons on our body. I believe that there's an anointing that is transferred physically from our bodies, and Jesus is the proof of that. That woman didn't touch Jesus physically. She simply touched the hem of his garment. She simply touched his robe. She touched the bottom of his robe. And there was so much power emanating from his body, from his physical body. It went out from his body, through his clothes, into her body, and dried up that condition that she had for 12 years. And listen, folks, it wasn't because Jesus initiated it. It was because she initiated it. Jesus didn't say, come on out here, lady, and I'll heal you. Are you hearing this? She went after it. She was the aggressor. She was the pursuer. And too often we are waiting for somebody to come running after us. We're waiting for God to come visit us. And God is saying, I've already visited you 2,000 years ago. My name was Emmanuel. I was God with you. But I sent the Holy Spirit and I said, the greater work shall you do, because I'm going to be with the Father. But I sent you somebody that will give you the ability to have more than what I could have given you in my physical body. I've given you the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can be in every place at all times. And you never have to lack anything, because the Holy Spirit will be your helper. He will be your provider. He will be your supplier. He will be your teacher. He will be your counselor. He will be your healer. But you've got to reach out, and even though the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you've got to release your faith and touch. You got to touch the hem. You've got to touch the covenant. You got to touch the cloth of Jesus, the garment of Jesus. And you've got to be willing to be patient, which doesn't mean wait around, but it means to endure. It means to put up with whatever comes your way. It means to stand in there no matter what is coming against you. And that is why many people are not experiencing the miracles that God has promised, those signs and wonders that God has promised, because they are not applying patience to their faith. Patience does not mean sitting around and hoping our faith will work. Patience says, I'm going to go after this thing. I'm going to go after this thing. I'm going to go after this thing, and I'm never giving up. We got to get rid of the religious ideas of what patience is. Patience is to continually apply the word, even in the face of opposition. To believe aggressively the word, even in the face of adversity. To continually apply the word, even in the face of opposition. And to continually believe the word, even in the face of adversity. We have got to get a hold of the fact that our faith is going to be tested. In James chapter 1, he said, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience does not come when your faith is just sitting around. Patience comes when your faith is tested. You're going to be tested. You need to understand that. Every time you graduate, you're going to be tested. Every time you go on to a promotion, you're going to be tested. Every time you desire to go on to a promotion, you're going to be tested. Every time God speaks something to you, it's going to be tested. Every time you start standing on the word for something, you're going to be tested. You'll start standing on the word for healing, and all of a sudden you'll get sick. Why? Because there's a test coming. Why? Because Satan doesn't like when you're believing something. He doesn't mind when you're just hoping for things, but he hates when you're believing for something. And we need to understand patience is faith that has been tested, that faith tested produces patience, and patience, when it has its perfect work, will perfect you, and you will be lacking nothing. In fact, I want you to see that over in James chapter 1 for a moment. James chapter 1, you start standing on the word for financial breakthroughs, and all of a sudden, circumstances come up out of nowhere, and you wonder, why is that happening? Because Satan understands how powerful faith is, and so he's going to put your faith to the test. It's not you being tested, it's your faith being tested. That's why he says in James chapter 1, he said, knowing this, that the testing of your faith, verse 3, worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete or entire, lacking nothing, wanting nothing, which means lacking nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it will be given him, but let him ask in faith. Now, I don't want to get too far from where I want to be this evening, but the person who is patient is the person who perseveres. These words are connected. These words are related to each other. Patience and perseverance. I think what a lot of Christians lack nowadays is perseverance. I think if we don't get it right away, if it doesn't happen right away, then we just give up. And that tells me something. It doesn't tell me that it has to take forever for us to receive something, but we have to really believe it. When we ask for it. Let me try to explain it this way. If you're believing for something and it doesn't manifest after a week or after 2 weeks or after a few days, and you just say, well, I just give up, this doesn't work, then I submit to you tonight that you never believed it even when you first prayed for it. Because if you really believed it when you first prayed for it, you would never give up. You can't really believe something and then give up because it doesn't show up, because if it doesn't show up, that shouldn't change the fact that you really believe it. If you really, now I'm trying to say this to you to tell you that that doesn't mean, listen, it doesn't mean that, okay, well, I'm just going to, all right, fine, then I'm just going to believe it and believe it and believe it and believe it and believe it, even if it doesn't show up. I'm not saying it has to work that way. I believe when you truly believe it, when you really genuinely believe it, it is going to show up right away. But the reason it doesn't show up right away is not because we're not believing it long enough. It's because we're just not believing it in the face of what we see. So when it doesn't show up, does anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? When it, what is it? Whatever it is to you, it may be your healing, it may be money, it may be some other miracle. I don't know what it is for you. It may be your family salvation, it may be wisdom, it may be knowledge. I don't know what it is, but when it doesn't show up, faith doesn't say, well, I guess it's not working. Faith says, if you're truly believing, you're gonna say, it doesn't matter that it didn't show up yet. I still believe that I have it now. And if, let me see if I can say this right. And if not seeing it is causing you to stop believing it, then you never believed it to begin with. If not seeing it is what's keeping you from believing it, then when did you ever have the right to believe it since you never saw it to begin with? When do you ever have the right to believe for something if when you don't see it, you give up? Many people, they try to believe for something, they don't see it after a while, so they give up. Well then, what were they believing in the beginning? They were believing in what they saw. And when what they saw didn't change right away, they what they really believed was exposed. They didn't believe something new all of a sudden. It was simply revealed that they never believed it to begin with. Because when you really believe something, nobody can talk you out of it. Nobody can argue with you about it. Nobody can change your mind about it. Nobody can get you discouraged about it. When you really believe something, that's when things are going to happen. And our problem is not trying to believe something. Our problem is really believing it. We've tried to believe a lot of things as Christians, haven't we? Haven't you tried to believe for a lot of things? But see, believing it is different than trying to believe it. Believing I have received is different than, man, I've been believing, but it's just not working, and what am I doing wrong? And what you're doing wrong is you're calling what you call believing, you're calling it believing when it's really not believing. It's hoping. It's wishing. It's wanting. But Jesus said here in James chapter 1, through the Apostle James, he said when faith has been tested, it produces patience, and then you're going to be wanting nothing. Which means you're no longer in a position of wanting something. you're in a position of knowing you have something. Does that make sense? What I'm trying to get across to you, saints, is I want to expose the patterns of wrong thinking that we have where it has to do with faith. And that is that we have bought a lie that says, okay, faith and patience will inherit the promises. Faith means believing and patience means just waiting. And patience does not mean waiting. Patience means I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm going to stick with this thing and I'm going to stick it out and I'm going to hold fast to what God said no matter what pressure comes against me. If it's pressure from people, if it's pressure from circumstances, if it's pressure from what I see with my physical eyes, if what I hear with my physical ears, I will not be moved by that pressure. In fact, when I have that pressure, I'm going to toughen up even more. When things don't go my way, I'm going to toughen up even more. Because oftentimes when things don't go our way, we get discouraged. We believed in God and we believed God when everything was going good. But then all of a sudden when things don't work out, we're like, where was God? Folks, God did not leave. God did not move. God did not change. He never changes. He's been there the whole time. It's not that he moved. It would be like that woman with the issue of blood saying, where has God been all these 12 years? Forget about what's happened these 12 years. You have an opportunity to go touch the hem of his garment. Go touch it and don't cry and whine about what hasn't worked for you for the last 12 years. Forget about what hasn't worked for you, folks, and start doing something that does work, and that is believing. Believing always works. Well, where our problem is as believers is we really don't believe. We really don't believe. We hope, we wish, we want, we desire, but when we believe, that's when things will change. Look at John chapter 6 for a minute. John chapter 6. Glory to God. Look at John chapter 6, verse 28. Then they said to Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God that you believe. This is the work of God that you believe. Oh, don't we want to work the works of God? Don't we want to see the works of God? Don't we want to see the wonders of God, the miracles of God? Don't we want to work the works, see the work? Don't we want to see the word work? Don't we want to see the works work? Don't we want to work the works, work the word, see it working in our lives? You getting the picture here? This is the work of God that you believe. When you believe, it works. When you believe, it works. Folks, here's the bottom line. When it's not working, it's because we're not believing. Oh, look, yeah, we might be speaking, we might be confessing, we might be fasting, we might be praying, we might be reading our Bible, we might be mentally assenting to the fact that we believe this. But it really boils down to when you are believing, it works. And when it's not working, it's because we're not believing. Yeah. Jesus could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. In other words, they were not believing. This is what causes so many Christians to stumble. This is what causes so many people to fall, so many people to be discouraged, so many people to quit and to give up, is because they really have come to a place where they thought they were believing. But if they were faced with the hard, cold facts of the matter, the reality is they really weren't believing. The reality is, I might say I believe certain things, but I don't believe them unless they're really working. When I really believe them, they're really going to start working. And when they're not working, it's because I need to work on my believing. That's where I got to go back to the Word of God, get my mind renewed, and get... Listen, the goal of getting your mind renewed is not to put in time with God, to put in time for God. I'm going to put in this time for God. I'm put in this time for God, and God will be pleased. It's not putting in time for God. It is whatever it takes. If it takes you 12 hours to start agreeing with God, then renew your mind for 12 hours. If it takes you 5 minutes to get into agreement with God, then you've renewed your mind. It doesn't, the goal is to get your mind renewed. The goal is to change the way you think. The goal is to really believe what he said. For some people, we've got so much unbelief that it's going to take hours and hours and hours in the Word to wash us of that unbelief. But we're going to be frustrated when we're hoping for things and setting goals for ourselves and having dreams and goals and aspirations of things that we want God to do in our lives when in fact we really don't believe it. It's going to frustrate us. And I know the frustration of that. I've had it in my own life, and I've asked God, Lord, why hasn't this worked? And why isn't this working? And why hasn't this happened yet? And the Lord constantly takes me back and he says, son, if you're really believing, you won't have to ask that question. Because what you believe works. Oh, saints, what you believe really works. If you believe you're going to have problems, I'm telling you, I guarantee you, that's working. If you really believe you're not going to make it, I promise you, it's going to work for you. Whatever you are believing works. And so the goal is not, okay, I'm going to believe for a new car, I'm going to believe for a new house, I'm going to believe for this. We've got to get focused on believing God, believing what he says. You see, if you can believe God, if you can have confidence in what he says, then you can start exercising your faith. Then it's easy to believe for a house. Then it's easy to believe for a car. Then it's easy to believe for a job. The key is not believing for a thing. The key is believing in the faithfulness of God. That's the key to faith. It's the simplicity of faith. It's faithfulness. It's your faith in his fullness, faithfulness. It's your faith in his fullness. That's faithfulness. God is a faithful God. I put my faith in his fullness. I'm putting my faith in what he said. Oh, if we would get a hold of this, folks, that it's not what we can generate. It's not what we can believe. It's not how we can believe and we can muster up our faith. It's faith in him. It's faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. He didn't say, have faith in you, have faith in this, have faith in that. I'm not saying that we should not have faith in ourselves. I'm simply saying if we want our faith to work, we have to make sure our faith is built upon a foundation of his faithfulness, not our ability to believe for something. Because when you are confident in his faithfulness, you can believe for anything. Because he is going to do what he said he's going to do. And so our focus should be on believing what God said, not on believing for a thing. Believe what God said. It all gets back to what did God say? What does God say about it? Can you go back to everything you're believing, everything you're praying for, everything you're standing for? Can you go back to something that God said that gives you the foundation, that gives you the platform from which you are now believing? Can you trace everything you're believing for back to something God said? Or is it something that you have manufactured because that's simply what you want or what you hope for or what you desire? And of course, we believe that God gives us the desires of our heart, but he doesn't just give us the desires of our heart. He gives us the desires of our heart. He gives us the desires. When you're meditating in his word, when you're getting your mind renewed, you're going to discover what desires you should be desiring. That's how he will give you the desires of your heart. And when it's something that he has given to you, when it's something that he has put in your heart, it'll be easy to believe for it. Oh, we're making it too hard on ourselves. We're trying to come up with believing for something, but what we really need to do is go back to the Word and make sure that it's something he desires for us to have, and when it's something that he's promised for us to have. And when we know it's his promise, then our faith is easily resting upon his faithfulness, not resting upon our ability. And then patience says, I don't care what happens. I don't care what it looks like. Patience says, I'm standing here and I'm going to believe for this because God said it was going to happen and God said he was going to do it. And I'm simply holding on to what God said. I'm not worried about me trying to produce something or manufacture something. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And I'm directing my faith towards God doing what he said he was going to do. It says that he is able. He is able, Ephesians 3:20, to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. We've got to put the pressure back on God doing what he said he's going to do rather than putting all the pressure on ourselves thinking that we got to do something. We got to touch him. That's all we got to do. We got to touch what he touches. We got to believe what he believes. We got to think what he thinks. Perseverance comes from a Greek word, hupomene. Hupomene, it means to carry to full term. To carry to full term. Perseverance, patience, to carry to full term. That we're going to carry this thing. We're not going to abort what we're believing. We're not going to abort it just because we got some morning sickness. We're not going to abort it just because it makes us look fat. We're not going to abort it just because our clothes don't fit. In other words, we're not going to abort it just because of the complications that come into our lives. We're not going to abort what we're believing just because of the pressure, just because of how we feel, just because of how we look. So what if you look silly, but you're putting, so what if you look crazy when you're putting a big deal? You don't ever worry about what people think about you. You decorating your baby's room when you don't have a baby yet, but you got a baby on the inside of you, and the doctor said you're pregnant, and you got the little plus sign when you did the little, P test or whatever the thing is. That plus sign means he shall add. That's why we named our last name, our last son Joseph. He shall add. We saw that plus sign. He added. You don't ever think about it. I mean, people get pregnant, women get pregnant, and you don't see it yet. You don't feel it yet. You just have the knowledge and you have the conviction and the belief that you're pregnant based on what the doctor said or based on what the test said. Whoa, man, listen, how much more God's word than a plus sign? How much more God's word than a doctor? Amen. And yet you'll go out and you'll start buying stuff. You'll start painting walls. You'll start buying furniture. You'll get the crib out. The music will be playing. Everything is going in that room. And you don't even look pregnant. But you are. That's perseverance. That's carrying that thing to full term. It means that you're going to just hold on. And you know this thing is coming. And you know this baby is coming. And you plan for this thing to come. And you know it, and you know it, and you know it. And you're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by what you feel. You're not moved by what anybody says. They can look at you and tell you you're not pregnant, you're not pregnant, you're not pregnant. But you will never be persuaded of that because you believe. That's how we need to live. We need to rejoice, whether we feel like it or not, because we believe that God's finishing what he started. We need to give because we believe that God will provide. Amen. We need to sing because we believe that God is able to open the prison doors while we're singing. God is able to rout our enemies while we're praising. Listen, God is able to reverse the curse while we're doing what he told us to do. God is able to turn what the devil meant for evil. God is able to turn it into good when we praise God, when we stand on that, when we're really believing. Amen. Oh, I love that verse we read the other day. Go back to Luke chapter 21 for a minute. Luke chapter 21. Look at the tribulation he talks about in verse 10. Jesus said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. It sounds like that sounds worse than getting cut off on the highway, doesn't it? I mean, this is some tribulation. Would you agree with me? This is worse than the waiter not bringing your food on time. Come on. Earthquakes and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven, verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Notice, people are going to betray you. People are going to turn against you. Negative circumstances are going to surround you. And he says, verse 13, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. It shall turn to you for a testimony. It shall turn to you for a testimony. God's going to turn it around for a testimony. It's going to end up being a testimony. The devil thought it was going to destroy you, but it's going to turn out to be a testimony. The devil thought it was going to defeat you, but it's going to turn out for you to be a testimony. The devil thought it was going to devastate you, but it's going to turn out for you to be a testimony. It's going to turn to you for a testimony. It's going to become a testimony. Every time the devil tries to deliver you up, to defeat you, to destroy you, to persecute you, to tempt you, to afflict you, to bring adversity to you, if you will have faith and patience, if you will persevere, if you'll press through that crowd, if you'll press through and hold fast to that word, then it will turn to you for a testimony, and God will give you something to rejoice about, something to praise God about, something to laugh about. So you might as well start praising now. You might as well start rejoicing now. You might as well start laughing now. Amen. Because it's going to turn to you for a testimony. It's going to become a testimony. What right now it might be a test, but if you will hold fast, that test will become a testimony. Anybody going through a test right now? Going through some trials in your life? Through faith and patience, that test will turn into a testimony. Every testimony starts with test. T-E-S-T. Every testimony starts with test. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. Don't be shocked. Don't be worried. Don't be nervous. Whatever test you're going through right now is going to turn into a testimony. But what do you got to do? Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Through faith and patience, through perseverance, we inherit the promises of God. Persevere, carry to full term, remain in place means to suffer. Persevere means to suffer. What does suffer mean? People got the wrong idea of suffering. Here's what suffering means. It means to bar one's self from being influenced by what's going on around him. I bar myself. I forbid myself to be influenced by what I see, what I feel, what I'm going through. That's suffering. Anybody can go through something. Anybody can be the victim of a negative circumstance in their life. Anybody can be complain about what they're going through. But when you refuse to be influenced by what you're going through, you refuse to be influenced by what people are saying about you. You refuse to be influenced by what the devil's tried to do in your life. That's suffering. That's biblical suffering. That's Christian suffering. And that kind of suffering you can't escape from. You're going to have to refuse to be influenced by the things you see. You're going to have to refuse to be influenced by the things you feel. You're going to have to refuse to be influenced when you think the devil got, he really put one over on you. When you think, man, the devil beat us here. The devil beat me here. The devil defeated me here. You've got to not be influenced. You got to refuse. He didn't beat you. He only beats you if you quit. He only beats you if you give up. But if you have patience, you're going to experience the fruit that God has for you. Look at James chapter 5 with me for a moment. James chapter 5. Oh, I pray you get a hold of what I'm sharing with you. I pray that you get a revelation of this one thing, if nothing else, that you get a revelation of the fact that if you stop believing something, it's only because you didn't believe it like you should have. Because if you really believe something like you should, you can't stop believing it. Right. To believe something means you have absolute conviction about it. You're absolutely convinced about it. There are certain things that I'm absolutely convinced about. And those things I really believe. And those things that I'm really convinced about, those are the things that are working in my life. The things I'm not convinced about, they're not working. Because things don't work until you're convinced about them. You have to be convinced. You have to be fully persuaded. Paul said, I'm fully persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Listen, I can walk through fire and not be burned. I can stand in the face of any temptation if I really believe what God said. I'm not saying that I should walk into it. I'm just saying, folks, the reason why people cave in under pressure, they cave in under temptation, they cave in when they're facing opposition, they cave in the midst of adversity is only because they really didn't believe what they said they believed. Don't wait for pressure to reveal what you believe. Don't wait for tragedy to expose what you really believe. Become convinced of what you believe. We believe too many things sometimes. You know, we're trying to believe everything. We need to zero in on a few important things and focus on those things. Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, pressing on to the high call of God. We got to stop trying to believe for everything. When you're trying to believe for everything, you really end up not believing for anything, and you end up with nothing because you really didn't believe anything. You've got to be specific, and you've got to be concentrated in what you believe. And, you know, forgive me for staying on this point for so long, but And not teaching you more, but I want to exhort you and I want to inspire you and encourage you and really establish this one thing that you've got to be so convinced about the things you believe so that when pressure does come, and it will, when temptation does come, and it will, when opportunity for you to give up does come, and it will, you're unmoved by it because you are convinced. I'm convinced that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I am convinced when I get on an airplane, I am convinced that airplane has to fly. I am convinced that nothing bad can happen to that machine. I am convinced. Why am I convinced? Because of Psalm 91, that no evil will come near my dwelling place and no plague will come near my tent. And when I'm in that airplane, that's my tent. Right? That's my tent. As long as I'm in there, it's my tent. When I get out, it can crash, it can burn up, I'm not saying with anybody in it, I'm just saying whatever it's going to do, whatever bad it's going to do, it can't do it while I'm in there. I'm convinced of that. I have to be convinced of that. If you're not convinced of that, you should not get on an airplane. You better be convinced of the things that you believe. We need to be convinced of the things we believe. I'm convinced that I'm not going to die some tragic death. I'm convinced that a car is not going to hit me. I'm convinced I'm not going to fall off a bridge. I'm convinced that I'm not going to get shot, killed, you know. None of that. Poisoned. Can drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt me. If you told me what I drank today was poison, it wouldn't bother me. Why? Because I can drink any deadly poison and it won't harm me. I'm convinced of that. Now, you can't play with fire now, folks. You don't put God to the test. Yeah, we can pick up serpents, but that doesn't mean we should be looking for them. Right? Come on now. Yeah, we can drink any deadly poison, but we shouldn't be going to the store and buying it. The fact is whatever you believe, the most important thing you can do with your life is to find out what you believe, find out what you think you believe, and become convinced of it. Find out what you think you believe and become fully persuaded of it. I'm so persuaded that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm so persuaded that every seed that I've ever sown, every good seed that I've ever sown, has got to produce a harvest. I'm persuaded, I am so convinced that every good thing that ever happens in my life today, is it always traces back to some seed that I've sown, some seed that God directed me to sow at some point in my life. There's nothing is an accident. Everything is a harvest from a seed that we've sown. Everything. The devil is a liar. I don't believe in accidents. I just don't. I believe everything's a harvest. Because as long as the earth remains, there's seed time and there's harvest. And it will never cease. You say, but such and such happened. This happened to me. That happened to me. Was that because I planted a bad seed? It may not be your seed. It may be that somebody else planted a bad seed in you. Maybe it was a seed your parents planted in you. Maybe it was a seed that somebody else. Maybe you didn't watch over the seeds that the world was sowing into your heart or into your children's heart. Come on, are you hearing this? You don't beat yourself up about it. But realize, accidents don't happen. Realize that you have authority. I'm not saying unexplainable things don't happen. Everything has an explanation. We just might not know it until we get to heaven in some cases. Are you with me? And everything has an explanation, but there are going to be times where we don't have the explanation yet. And my job is not to figure out why I didn't get healed for 12 years. My job is to touch the hem of his garment in the meantime. My job is not to worry about how my daughter got sick. If I was Jairus, how did my daughter get to the point of sickness? What did I do wrong? Where did I let the devil in? Why is this happening to me? My job is to find Jesus and get him to go home with me and come lay hands on my daughter that she may get well. Amen. Everything that is not right in our lives, we go through what we call the paralysis of analysis. We analyze things to death. And the media is helping us. They analyze everything. Everything. Man, you want to, we know more about Kobe Bryant. We know more about we know more about all these different situations and all. We've analyzed this and we analyze that and we have this expert talk about this person. They never even met the person, but they have so much authority about what this person is or who this person is, what this person did or what this person said. Folks, we analyze things too much. We analyze our problems too much. Stop giving your problems so much attention and do what Jesus said to do. Do the simple things that he said to do. Does this make any sense to anybody tonight? I'm just saying, folks. I'm just saying, when I went to college, I was not tempted by the devil because I knew what I believed. When I started the ministry, I was not tempted by the devil because I knew what I believed. When I got married, I was not tempted by the devil because I knew what I believed. In other words, every step of my life, everything that ever happened in my life, the only time I'm tempted, the only time that I'm weak, the only time I'm vulnerable is when I am not convinced about what I believe. But when I am convinced about what I believe, I'm not tempted. When I'm convinced about what I believe, I can't be moved. I can't be beat. Can't be defeated. Oh, be convinced. Saints, be convinced. Do an inventory of what you think you believe. And then ask yourself, am I really convinced about this? And if you're not, then you take each one of those things and you go dig up some scripture about each one of those things and meditate on those scriptures until you're convinced. And whatever you're convinced of is going to work. Whatever you're convinced of, it's got to work. Because he said, this is the work of God, to believe. If you believe, it works. If it's not working, you're not convinced of it yet. It's not that you did something wrong. It's not that you sinned. It's not. Look, the man who was sick for 38 years, paralyzed for 38 years, and had no one to put him in the water, Remember what happened in that story? And Jesus came up to him and he said, do you want to get well? And he said, I have nobody to put me in. And what did Jesus say? He said, man, you don't need somebody to put you in. Rise up and walk. And he got up and he was healed. And he went into the temple. And Jesus caught up with him later in the day. And he said, you've been made well. Now stop sinning so nothing worse happens to you. Notice, when Jesus came up to him, he didn't say, hey, boy, been here 38 years, stop sinning and you'll get healed. He healed him even when he was sinning. Oh, we don't believe that. Most Christians aren't convinced of that. I'm so convinced that my sin does not give the devil power in my life. Now, listen to me. That's a powerful statement, what I just said, and very controversial, and some of you are going to want to stone me, but... He who's without sin cast the first. Why do I believe that my sin does not give the devil power over my life? Here's why I believe that. Because the blood of Jesus is greater than my sin. So if my sin gave the devil power over my life, then I could have never got saved. Because I was a sinner. So the devil would have maintained power. But Jesus' blood broke the power of the devil off of my life while I was a sinner. Not when I got my act together. So after we get saved, then all of a sudden we think we got to get our act together or the devil's just going to beat us up. We've got to get what we believe together. And then what we believe is going to influence our act. Our actions, our behavior. Oh, that's treading on some waters that might be shaky for a lot of people. But I'm just telling you, is your sin more powerful than His righteousness? Where sin abounds, doesn't grace abound all the more? Now, shall I sin that grace might increase? May it never be. But nevertheless, the fact of the matter is, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. The fact of the matter is, my sin does not give Satan place in my life. What I believe gives Satan place in my life. And what I don't believe gives Satan place in my life. And what I believe gives God place in my life. Because the ultimate sin in this world is to reject what God says. It's to unbelieve what Jesus said to believe. That's the ultimate sin. If I really believe that He'll meet my needs, I won't have to steal. Stealing is not the sin that is the root problem. Stealing is the fruit. I doubt God's ability to provide for me. That's the root problem. So that causes me to steal. I'm not confessing that I've stolen. I'm simply saying a person who steals doesn't steal because they're believing God's word. They steal because they don't believe God's word. If you really believed God was going to meet your need, would you have to steal? If you did steal, wouldn't that show us that you really didn't believe that God would provide for you? Don't carry this into some extreme thing where, well, if you really believe you're healed, well, then would you ever need to see a doctor? Don't make that analogy because it's not the same thing. You see a doctor because a doctor knows how the parts of your body operate, just like a mechanic knows how the parts of your car operate. And he may not be able to heal you, but he can certainly tell you what's wrong. Amen. Amen. If your parts weren't working on your car, would you just say, oh, it's healed by the stripes of Jesus? Come on, would you? No, you would. You may pray that thing starts. You may lay hands on it. I've laid hands on cars before. I got cars now that somebody else has laid hands on and made it work right, so I don't have to lay my hands on it anymore. I need to lay my hands on things I need to lay my hands on. I need to buy me things that somebody else already laid their hands on, so I don't need to worry about that. But my point is that you don't say, well, I'm going to just lay my hands on this. You say, you can lay your hands on it, but then you say, I better get this to the mechanic too, because he knows about these parts. Maybe there's a part missing. Well, maybe there's something in your body, there's a part that's not working right, and you need an analysis from a professional to tell you what is wrong with that part of your body. Then you have something to apply your faith towards. Amen. Amen. It's like testimony. Somebody came up to me. I had a guy that came up to me while we were building this building several years ago. He came up to me for prayer, one of the construction workers. He said, my brother has cancer, brain cancer. Can you pray for him? And so I prayed for him and didn't think anything of it. And then just this was 6 years ago or something like that. And then just the other day, somebody came to me and said, I met the guy who said that you prayed for him at the trailer when the church was being, when this building was being built. And he said, you prayed for his brother, and his brother lived, after having that brain cancer, his brother lived for three years after that. And he never died. He did die 3 years later, but he didn't die of brain cancer. He died of some blood disease or something like that. But I wasn't praying for blood disease. I was just praying for the knowledge. He gave me the knowledge, and I applied my faith. What was it? He got healed. His body was cancer-free when he died, but he died of something else. What's the point? The point is you need to understand what's going on in your body so that you can apply your faith specifically to whatever that the condition is and get medical attention if necessary as well, of course. But the point is then you're focused, then you're concentrated on that particular piece of the situation.
This series continues on the next CD. If you have any difficulties with these CDs or would like to order more CDs, tapes, or books from Gregory Dickow Ministries, please call us at 888-438-LIFE.